As was mentioned, my topic today is respect for the elderly. The elderly. That's kind of a term that means different things to different people. You may be 40 years old. I'm 38 and sometimes feel elderly. I'm not. I feel a lot better than I did. This time last year when we was in Missouri for the lectureship, I was about 40 pounds heavier than I am now. And I have never felt better than I do right now. So I don't feel elderly anymore. Today is my mother's birthday. And she turned 60 years old today. That was the reason I wasn't able to make it Friday or Saturday to the lectureship. I had some family obligations and spent some time with her since I wasn't going to be able to see her really on her birthday. But she always said that when she turned 60, she would be old. She said when she was growing up, she always felt like 60 was old. That was the age when you became elderly. So today, she's elderly. But I've always had respect for my mother. You may think it's older than that. I don't know. But we want to talk about respect for the elderly. Why would the younger want to respect the older? Why would we want to have respect for the elderly? Well, God encourages us as Christians to have respect for the elderly. Matter of fact, he goes further than encourages, but he commands us to have respect for the elderly. Our text is based upon 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2. And in this passage, Paul gives us the idea, the command that God gives for us. He says, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elderly women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity." We are to have respect for our elders, respect for the elderly. But there are other places that God commands it as well. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise." Other places throughout the Old Testament as well, Leviticus 19:32 says, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God, I am the Lord." In Proverbs 16, verse 31, "The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness." In Proverbs 23:22, "Hearken to thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." Many places throughout the Scripture, God encourages, God commands us to have respect for the elderly. Many times we don't realize just how important elderly in the church are. As younger, and if you're elderly, you consider yourself elderly, you may remember back to a time when you were younger and think that, you know, maybe the older or the elderly do not have as much to offer as the younger. I mean, the younger, they have more energy, more full of life, they have more time, more years to do things. The elderly, when we get to that age, we're to be waning. We're supposed to start slowing down. And not in God's service, we don't. We don't start slowing down in God's service. We might in the real world, we might in this world here, as far as a job is concerned, as far as daily life is concerned, we may cut back, we may slow down. But when it comes to God's service, we always need to be full steam ahead. No matter what age we are, whatever abilities we have, whatever strength that we have, we need to be using it to serve God Almighty. And God has always used the elderly in His service. And He'll never stop. And one way we can learn as younger to have respect for the elderly is to see just how important the elderly are in God's plan, in God's service. And there are many examples that God gives us throughout Scriptures to teach us this valuable lesson. One example that we can look at is that of Noah. Noah was 600 years old when he finished the ark. When he went into the ark and the floodwaters came upon the earth, he was 600. He began when he was around 500 years old to build the ark. And that's getting on up there in some years, isn't it? Now, I know we don't live to be 950 like Noah does, but if we could just kind of do one-tenth of that, people today can live to be 95, a little bit older. So imagine starting the work when you're 50 and completing it when you're 60. Going into God's service when you're 50 and expecting to do something, expecting to work hard at that age. Again, when we're 50, we're starting to think about slowing down. We're starting to see retirement years ahead. We're starting to see the golden years where I can sit back and relax and let everybody else do all the work. No. Not here with Noah. Not here in God's service. Noah was expected to be involved in God's work. He had lived approximately two-thirds of his life when he was called for this service. Look at some of the things the Bible says concerning Noah. In Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And in verse 9, it goes on to say that Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. There's a lot of what I would call epitaphs in the Bible. A lot of things that the Bible says about certain people that one day when it comes my time to die, that I hope a preacher or whoever's talking at my service could stand up and say about me. Ways that I could be remembered thousands of years after I've lived, the way that Noah was remembered here, and that he walked with God. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah wasn't thinking about stopping. He was thinking about working in his age. You know, we think about David, a man after God's own heart. That's how I want to be remembered. That's what Noah teaches us. That's why we have respect for the elder. That's why we have respect for a man like Noah, because he served God and found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he walked with God. Notice what it says on later on in verse 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. 600 years old. All that God commanded, he did. Now think. As Christians, we all have responsibilities. We all have a job to do. We all have a work. God commands us to do certain things. We are to be obedient to God. Therefore, we have respect for our elderly because they are obedient to the Lord. When they do and serve God the way that God commands them, we can't help but have respect for that because they're following God's plan. Noah serves as an example to us for that. He was a great man of faith. Hebrews 11, verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. His work, his willingness to be obedient, his desire to serve, his desire to be like the Lord, to walk with God, what did that lead to? We know in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, that it saved his family. Because he was obedient. God was ready to destroy the world. The thoughts of man were his own evil continually, the Bible says. But again, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he and his wife, his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives, eight people went into the ark and were saved because Noah was obedient. Because Noah was a God-fearing man, did what God commanded, and thus is worthy of our respect. Another example that we can look at, another senior, elderly servant of the Lord was Abraham. Abraham was 75 years old when he began a journey. He left Haran. And we look in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And it says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thee a great name. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. 75 years old. Beginning a journey. Again, at 75 today, we're thinking about ending the journey. We're thinking about stopping, slowing down. It's over. Time's almost up for me. No, Abraham was starting the journey. At 75 today, we can still start journeys in the Lord's service. I think of some examples of people that I've known. Elderly. And I use that term with all due respect. Elderly. Because I have learned respect for the elderly. My grandfather, who passed away back in 1995, my maternal grandfather, was about 63 years old when he obeyed the gospel. Started his journey late in life. Started his service for the Lord. Again, at an age when we're thinking about slowing down, he realized it was time to get started. It was time to get busy. Abraham here at 75 knew it was time to get started. He, just like Noah, was obedient to the Lord. And Hebrews 11, verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. Didn't know, but he knew that the Lord commanded, and he went. That's having faith in God. Sometimes we don't really realize exactly what the service is. We know, though, that we are to work. Abraham wasn't for sure exactly where the journey was going to lead, what exactly it was going to entail, what exactly was all going to be involved with it. But he had his faith in God, and he knew that it was going to work out. He knew that it was going to be to God's glory. We need to approach our duties today to God with the same idea, with the same respect and love for the Lord. Maybe not knowing exactly what's going to take place, not exactly what, how hard we're going to have to work, what all it's going to entail, but knowing that God will get the glory, that good is going to come from it when we're working for the Lord. He was a man of faith. Abraham was, Genesis 15, verse 6. He was a teacher, and he was a worshipful man. And as we see in James chapter 2, and verse 23, the Bible calls him a friend of God. Another epithet. A friend of God. Walk with God. A man after God's own heart. A friend of the Lord. Someone worthy of our respect. We can look at Moses. Moses was 80 years old when God called him at the burning bush to go and do something most important. A task that was of utmost importance. A work that must be accomplished, that must be done. At 80 years of age, Moses was sent. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And if we remember the story at first, Moses was a little hesitant, wasn't he? Moses felt like there was somebody better than him, more qualified than him to do this. You know, he was making excuses. Then he comes up, "Well, I can't speak it. I'm not eloquent in speech," and all these things Moses was saying. Excuses he wanted to make. But God knew he had chosen the right man, didn't he? God knew his heart. God knew his strength. God knew his talents and abilities better than Moses did. Moses is typical of a lot of people today, and he sold himself short. You know who limits our abilities to spread the word? We do. Who hinders our ability to teach others? We do. We want to blame the world sometimes. We want to blame society, television, movies. No. We can't do that. We have to take responsibility for ourselves. The blame lays on our shoulders because we're just like Moses. We want to make excuses. When there's an opportunity to teach someone, "Oh, so-and-so is better equipped to this than I am. I'll just, you know, wait and, you know, in the future, so-and-so will finally talk to them and, you know, they'll get to hear the truth then." Work in the church, you know, things of VBS or this lectureship's a great example. You know, everybody can jump in and everybody can work together to see that the gospel spread. But some people want to try and sit back in the shadows and say, you know what, I'm just not maybe as equipped to do this. I'm just not as talented as some other people are to do these things. We limit our abilities to spread the word. Moses was that way at first. But we know Moses went. Moses did trust God. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verses 24 through 26, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses knew something valuable. He knew that the riches that being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter could afford were but for a time, were for a season, something that would be temporarily to enjoy, but something that you couldn't take with you. He understood that the true reward, the true wealth, was in being a follower of God, a worshiper of God. He was faithful to the Lord. Hebrews 3 and verse 2. Who was faithful to him that appointed him also was faithful in all his house. And in verse 5 of Hebrews 3, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were spoken after. A testimony, an example for us to follow. An elderly servant of the Lord. An elderly example worthy of our respect for us to follow and pattern ourselves after. I believe just by the three examples that we've looked at already, we understand why God commands us to have respect for the elderly. Because of all the work involved. Now, I've been saying so far that as we get older, doesn't mean our work for the Lord slows down. And you know what? I'm not too naive to know that in a lot of congregations, most of the work is done by the elderly. Unfortunately, in many congregations, that's all it consists of. We've lost young people, but that's another topic for another time. The elderly do a lot of the work in the church. They're the dependables, the old faithfuls, you may want to call them, because we know they can be counted upon. We know that they're going to be a Noah, an Abraham, or a Moses when the work is to be done, and therefore deserve our respect. They are humble servants of God, just like Moses was. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3 says, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. He was meek. He was humble. He was a leader, as many of our elderly are in the church today. There's still a couple other examples that we can look at. If you want to take your Bibles, and I know I've been kind of going pretty fast through some of these verses, there's one I want us to look at. We can go to the book of Joshua, and we can go to the 14th chapter of Joshua. It's always good to be able to get our Bibles out and open them up and turn and look in God's Word. As I've said in the pulpit many times, it doesn't matter, or it's not what I say that makes the truth, it's what God says that makes his truth. So we want to look at God's Word here. And in Joshua chapter 14, and if we look at verse 10 beginning, and read down through verse 14, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, I am this day 85 years old. That's 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzanite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Here Caleb, 85 years old, takes the land of Hebron, Because he wholly followed the Lord. Again, more words to be remembered by. And all these words to be remembered by are by God's elderly servants that he commands us to have respect for. We can go to the New Testament and look at examples as well. If we look in the book of Luke, and if we'll go to the second chapter of Luke, there's a couple of brief passages to look at just to get a couple of examples real quick. We can begin in Luke 2 and verse 25 beginning. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death because he had seen before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people, Israel. Here, obviously, an elderly man that was promised by the Lord that he would not die until he had seen salvation, until he had seen the Christ. And he done so because he was a servant, an obedient follower of Jesus. Staying in the same book, same chapter, going down a few verses, verse 36, and go through verse 38. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now we had looked at several examples so far and they'd all been men, the ones we had looked at. But I want us to look and know that the elderly respect is not limited to men. It's women. And women as well are to be workers in the Lord's kingdom. And here we have an example of Anna, who was of a great age, had been a widow for 84 years. We know she was of a great age. But what does it say? But served God. What a great way, again, to be remembered as a servant of the Lord. Someone worthy of our respect. One last example that we can look at in Scripture. And somebody we may not think of as much as an elderly servant of God, that when we talk about respect for the elderly, there's someone that maybe necessarily comes to mind right off. But he was the man that penned our lesson text of 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2, and that is Paul. Paul, we know, is worthy of our respect for his work as an apostle, for his work in spreading the gospel, but also is worthy of our respect because of his stature of the elderly. In Philemon verse 9, Paul writes, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. There are some different ideas of how old Paul was at this time, and I'm not going to get into what men may think. I don't know. But Paul considered himself the aged. He considered himself in some way elderly. And he wrote that we are to have respect for our elders. And he knew that through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but he had respect for his elders and for the elderly as well. He knew the importance of following God's Word. He knew that even as the aged, even in maybe in advanced years, that he was important to God and to his work. In Psalms 8 and verse 4, the Bible says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? We need to realize that we are all important to God and to his work, no matter how old we are. From the moment we become a child of God, From the moment that we obey God and we're buried in baptism to rise and walk a new life, a new creation in Christ Jesus, washed clean by the blood of Christ, our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, added to the Lord's church. From that very moment, we are to be workers in God's kingdom. To the very moment when we can't anymore. Till sickness overtakes us, till death comes, we're to be active and working in God's kingdom. Paul knew that. Even to the weakest member of the church, let us be active. In 1 Corinthians 12:22, it says, "No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker," he says, "they're necessary." We're all necessary. Don't ever, as younger in the church, think that the elderly are not necessary. That they can't do as much as we do. Because if the truth be known, as I said it before, they're probably doing a whole lot more than we are. They know the importance of working in the Lord's kingdom and doing God's will. They know the importance of setting a godly example. In the book of Titus, in the second chapter of Titus, in verse 1 beginning, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. They may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." Again, Paul writing to the preacher, to Titus, giving him instructions. He starts by saying, "Preach the things which become sound doctrine." What's sound doctrine? That the aged be a godly example for the younger. I've been blessed in my life. I've been blessed in so many ways to have and be surrounded by elderly, by aged men and aged women that were godly examples. Today I can call my mother an aged woman, an elderly woman, because she says she is now. And she has been a godly influence all my life. My father is a godly influence in my life. My grandparents went to services, went to church, went to worship service. I've had other elderly members that have been important role models in my life. Tim was talking about the first time that we met, and the gentleman that he was with is my elder, is an elderly man who has been always supportive of me. The very first time I ever set foot in a pulpit and spoke, I was 13 years old. And I preached for 5 minutes. Me and my brother and my first cousin and my uncle preached 5 minutes apiece. And every elderly member of that congregation said and encouraged me, and that's ever since that time, of my home congregation. More so than any of the young people did. They know the importance of setting a godly example, of being encouragement. And ever since that time, I know I've learned to have respect. And I know why God commands us to have respect for the elderly. We should always be followers together. Paul says of himself, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which also you have for us, and is an example." Paul says, as the aged, "Use me for an example, because I follow the Lord's word." Hebrews 13, verse 7, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." And as Jesus says in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." As the younger, as the older, as the aged or the elderly, let us always do all things to the glory of God, to bring Him the glory. Let our light shine before men. Elderly, to have respect I want us to notice one thing in closing. What did all of our examples have in common while God commanded us to have respect for them? They were obedient. They followed God. To have respect, let us have respect for the Lord and for His Word and to do His good will. Friends, I appreciate the attendance today. I appreciate your kind attention to our lesson. And again, I thank you for this opportunity to be with you here today. I hope today we maybe have a little bit better understanding of just how important each and every one of us as members of the Lord's church are to God's work. But the elderly as well know, again, your journey is not over. Let us all work hard for the kingdom of the Lord. Thank you.